Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, friends, welcome back today. Special episode. We have a special, special guest. He is an Iron Man enthusiast, a seasoned wordsmith, expert coffee drinker. He's an actor. He's a voice actor. He's a stand-in, and he is a below-average golfer. Welcome, Mike Charles, to the podcast. How you doing, brother?
Thanks, man. Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. I just had to throw in that it's your tagline, below average golfer. That's not true, yep. By the way. That's not true.
The most true of all of those taglines on there.
Wait, who won our last unexpected golf outing? Do you remember who won? Wait, is that you?
That might have been me, but not by much.
That was you, wasn't it? Okay. It's funny because Lane made the jacket so small that there's no way I even want to win it. So that'll be coming up here in the fall. But hey, we got Mike on here for a lot of reasons. If you saw the title of this, we're going to be talking about Superman. We're going to be talking about his story. Just a quick update for some of our uppers here. I'm posting this podcast anywhere I can because I am so excited about having Mike on and the ability to talk about Superman. I'm fanboying. I'm a fanboy in multiple ways here. Okay. One for Mike, two for David Corenswet, who plays Superman, and so on. So I'm just going to fanboy out here like crazy. So everyone just bear with me. But quick update on the pod. Our good friend, our brother, Lane Smithers. Don't know if you guys know this, but this man has not been at home in like 4 to 5 weeks. His family is literally not at home. So thoughts and prayers. We love those guys. We love the Smithers. They're going through a lot right now, and thought we'd just give you guys a quick little update as to where we are. Just love that man. Love him. He's got a lot going on. And so we were going to have him on tonight. We'll try to get him on next week, but again, he's got a lot going on. So we're just trying to, I feel like with teachers sometimes in the summer, that's the time where you have time to do projects and get things done. Like home improvements or removal of bats. And if you followed any of his updates over on Instagram, then you'll know what we're talking about. It's just crazy. I mean, Mike, you've heard some of the updates that he's given. It's just like, God, I love that dude. And so, but we'll get together. I told Mike, we'll try to get the guys together before the summer is over and do some sort of maybe like in-person live recording or something and get back after it. But shout out to him. And just a quick update for our uppers here. We have this ongoing Patreon series that we're doing for the Second Age, and that does delay it by a week or so. So just wanted to give you guys an update there before we dive into this episode. And I don't know, keep us in your thoughts, your prayers, etc. So lots going on. We love you guys. Okay. Now, I'm ashamed of myself. Let me say this. I'm ashamed of myself. I've only gone to see Superman once. And it's the reason I've only gone once is because I've been talking to my friends and podcasting about Superman ever since I saw it. So I do need to go back out and watch it again. I'm excited to go do that. And I'm especially excited because Mike was in this movie. Can I just say that? Like, cool. I just want to say it.
Say it now.
Say it. Dude, how does that feel to be in a Superman movie?
I've done a few other movies.
Yes, you have.
But this is the first one that I've really been able to see myself on the big screen, like see myself in. And to be part of something this huge that's, you know, just taking the world by storm right now, it's just, I don't know, I can't put it into words. It's just amazing.
Yeah, dude, I am so proud of you. And I was like talking to Lottie earlier, and I was like, half the movie I was just looking for you. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh man. So I definitely need to go back again. And now I figured out, you know, I've seen some of your screenshots and stuff, you know, where I need to go look and stuff. But dude, to be a part of that and to be a part of that Cleveland crew, you know, as the credits were rolling and stuff. And I was just looking at that, like, that I love that it was in Cleveland, that you were able to be up there. And it's so awesome. Like you said, this movie is taking the world by storm. And I want to hear more from you about, like, just what it was like to be on it, like some of the, you know, just to be part of this crew. I mean, you're an official stand-in, is that mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
I was.
So yep. And so which character was that for?
That was for my guy Frank Grillo, played Rick Flagg Sr.
Dude, and I've got, I mean, down the line here, theories on that individual. And so it's so crazy. Wow. I'm going to be theorizing about him, but yet you're his like one of my brothers is literally his stand-in. I cannot be prouder about that. Like, it's just so freaking awesome, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So, because I'll be honest with you. I know you, Mike also does a lot of cosplay, and we have links, by the way, down in the description. Go check out his Instagram. Go check it all out. He's phenomenal. He's working on secret stuff already. I even got the scoop on something I can't even tell you guys about. It's just awesome. I freaking love you, Mike. Okay. It's just, and I love the cosplay. I love all the stuff. I love that you do the voice acting, that you do, you know, behind the scenes are sort of, what do you call it? Like when you're a stand in, is that the same? Cause I know before you've done some background acting and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. how do you get involved in all of that? Is there like a group?
So, yeah. So there is a group I'm part of. It's a casting agency out of Cleveland. They're the biggest in Ohio, I would have to say.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, when a production comes to town, they'll contact her and basically say, you know, here's our needs. You know, this is what we need for a movie that's coming to town. Can you, you know, put the message out there that we need extras, we need background extras, stand-ins. And basically it's just a group email that, you know, that I'm part of, and they send it out. And if it's something that you think you can fit in, yeah. you send your information in, your headshots, whatever, and they'll submit it to production. And if production likes the look, they'll book you for it.
Dang, man. Dang. And so what's it like in terms of your time commitment? You have to commit a lot of time to be available for those shoots. Is that right? Or?
Yeah. So last year, they started pretty early last year. And of course, there was, you probably remember all the news and rumors and stuff that, you know, right. prior on early last year that, you know, Superman, James Gunn's coming to Cleveland, you know, they're filming Superman in Cleveland, and casting calls are going to go out. Obviously I have my sights set on it, was watching my email like a hawk waiting for those casting emails. But you know, I finally got it. They were looking for background extras and stand-ins.
Yeah.
I had never been a stand-in before. I didn't really know what it was. I kind of confused it for a double, kind of explain the difference between the two. So I submitted. I was like, what the heck? I'll submit for a stand-in, you know, and I put my information in, and a month or so went by, and they called me back, and they're like, we'd love for you to be a stand-in for Rick Flagg. And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
That it just sounds so epic. I'm like, what? Like you're because he's such a big deal, and you're literally a part of like the DCU, man. I mean, like that's legit. Like, I think it's so freaking awesome, and he's a comic book character with a rich history, and it's just he's a great mm-hmm. freaking actor too. So, Man, that's really cool. So yeah, what is sort of the difference between like a stand-in and a double? And I don't really know all the, you know, terminology.
Yeah, sure. So I get up there, and which I didn't answer your question about the time commitment too. Basically, awesome. they let you know the filming dates that are going to be the happening. It's, you know, they'll give you a block of, a couple weeks. You know, we're going to be filming, so you have to be able to commit to some of these days. So basically you just let them know your availability and they'll book you based on your availability. But yeah, as far as stand-ins and doubles go, like I said, initially I thought it was going to be like a double until I really looked up what a stand-in was going to be. But a stand-in essentially is totally off camera. So you're not going to see me as Rick Flag and Superman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously they've got a much better guy for that. But I, myself and Joe, who was Superman, David Corenswet's stand-in. So we were there all day with James Gunn, with David Corenswet, Frank Grillo. I can't remember her name. She played the engineer.
Yeah.
And Ultraman. Okay. We were there with them all day, right there in front of City Hall in Cleveland. We go in and basically they get the scene set. And what stand-ins do is we kind of help the cameras get the right angle for the shot.
Yeah.
So we go in, we do everything that the main actors do. Mm-hmm. So what you see, which, I mean, hopefully, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Superman by now, there's a part in Superman where he turns himself in and General Rick Flag is apprehending him. And well, I should say Ultraman is, but they escort him out and they walk down. I can't remember what road that is in Cleveland, but it's literally right in front of City Hall.
Yeah.
Myself and Joe, who did Superman stand-in, we reenacted that same exact shot that you see in the movie. Like we did that. Like we did the walk. We walked with all the men and women that played the army that were around us that was escorting, which they were all great. We did the shot. We did the scene. We walked down, they got the right camera angles that they wanted. We reset, we hopped out, Frank Grillo, David Corenswet, everybody else comes back out and they film the scene.
Dang, that's freaking awesome. So you guys are really helping the crew, the cameramen, all those guys to really get this pre-set up. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And are you still wearing sort of some of the costumes so they get sort of the understanding of lights and color and all that kind of?
Yeah. So that day we didn't have to get suited up like they were, because obviously we weren't on camera, but I just had on a black shirt. They just told me to wear all black.
Yeah. Okay.
Because obviously Frank Grillo had all black on. Joe, Superman stand-in, he had on like a blue compression shirt. But just like you said, just for the colors and make sure everything. So we did dress similarly, but we didn't have the same costumes on.
Right. Just so they can get kind of an eye for it and see where Okay. That's really cool. And then outside of that, did you do any other work or other background acting or anything on the?
Yeah. So it's kind of a funny story. So I was initially booked for 2 days to work on set. And it was supposed to be a stand-in for Rick Flag both days. Yes. So I knew that they were going to be two consecutive days. And since I live down in Columbus, it's, you know, 2.5 hour drive up there.
Right.
I just did I got a place to stay overnight. So I got there. My call time was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. So I get there to base camp, which was actually just the parking lot right outside the Browns Stadium. That was where they had everything, you know, all the trailers and everything set up. It was pretty cool. But I get there and they say, yeah, you know, production's changed, so we don't need you as a stand-in today. And I was like, well, I'm already here. So is there something else I can, you know? And I think they kind of felt a little bad for what happened. So they said, hey, you know, hang tight. We'll see what we can get for you.
Yeah.
And for the scene that day, we shot the ending scene of the movie, which was actually the very first day of filming in Cleveland. They shot the end of the movie.
Wow.
But they said, one of our EMTs dropped out. Would you like to be an EMT instead? I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I mean, they literally had two EMTs. It was a woman and a man, and the guy just never showed up that morning.
Wow.
So he got the part and he never showed up. So
dang. And so you jumped in.
I got his part. So they took me back. I had to get rid of my beard. I had my beard nice and grown out to look like Frank Grillo and everything. They're like, you got to lose the beard though. So I lost the beard, and they put me in a EMT costume.
Right.
And we went to set, and I got to play an EMT. Dude. For the ending scene, which you can see me. That's my part that you can actually see me in the movie.
Yeah.
As again, spoiler alert, as everybody's getting rescued from the Planet Watch prison, wherever they were.
Right.
As they're walking down the stairs onto the street, you can see me run across in the background, helping people.
Dude, I think it's so cool because you got sort of to do both. You get to be the background actor in it, and then you're also kind of an official stand-in and everything. Yeah. And it's so cool. And also, I mean, as a stand-in, you're also right there with all the main filmmakers and everyone. You're next to James Gunn, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And another fun fact I wanted to share, too, before they could even tell me more about the stand-in role, I had to sign an official NDA with Warner Brothers.
Did you really?
I was like, man, this is getting real.
That is awesome. That's just awesome.
So, yeah. So. But yeah, I was right there with everyone. And even the first day when I was the EMT, where I was standing, the first person they brought out was Nicholas Holt. Jeez. They bring him out and, he's all beat up. He's got his arm in a sling, he's all, right. scratched up from where Crypto got him. They load him in the back of the Hummer and take off. And I mean, I was right there with him. I mean, he was a lot taller than I expected.
Is
he's
he?
A really tall guy in person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, James Gunn was right there. At the end of the day, the entire Daily Planet cast comes out, everybody. We were all right there together. Mr. Fantastic, it was so surreal. I'm just like, is this really happening right now? Like everybody is here right now. This is,
Oh man, that's gotta be something. I like, how do you stay composed? And that's part of the thing you told me in previous productions that you've been in, like that's really important that you're super serious, no talking, you're not there to you have a job to do, right? So it's
I noticed it was a lot different as a stand-in than just a background extra. I don't want to say like I was treated better because I was treated the same. Everything, this by far was the greatest set I've ever been on.
Yeah.
Just the organization of the production and the cast and the crew. I mean, they have it down to, I mean, it was probably the best filming experience I've had. But yeah, the general rule being on set is to not talk to talent.
Yeah.
They're there to do a job. It's a good way to get yourself kicked off the set and not get welcome back if but if they, the talent comes and talks to you, you're more than welcome to, have a conversation with them, which we did with Frank Grillo that day. He had some pretty cool stories to share with us, just talking about like when we were standing there just waiting, he was just kind of talking about some of the places he's been, travel all over the world. I think it was Fight World maybe is his show. I think it's on Netflix where he just kind of traveled the world because he's a big boxer.
Okay.
Yeah. He's really into fighting, and he basically went around the world and like learned different fighting techniques. Dang. And he was just like talking to us about that. I mean, he was such a cool guy. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the general rule is to not bother them. But yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying he's literally built for this role entirely.
Oh my gosh. So. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely someone that I look up to and
yeah. I bet. Yeah. He's awesome. I started following him here recently. I love when a new production comes out like this, cause you meet new actors and cast and crew and directors and writers that I never, just hadn't come across. Right. Just based on interest and things. And so, it's been awesome trying to like figure out who they are, get to know them. And it's just this whole new adventure. And I love Superman. So for me, this was like, not every movie that comes out, I'm not diving into every aspect of Marvel or different things. This really struck home with me because I've just always loved this character, and I was looking for this big reset to the DCU. And I mean, I knew James Gunn and I knew sort of some of what he's done, but I haven't really got to know him. I haven't really watched a lot of interviews with him. I was sort of a surface level fan, right? I'm just watching the show, going to the movie and hearing his name and not really thinking through it much, but man, he is such a creative. He is, I think he's the right person for the job, 100% the right person for the job. And I am so excited for the DCU. I cannot believe how good that movie was. I'm gonna be honest with you, Mike, because I was not sure going into it. I honestly said, and I've said this multiple times, I told my wife this, I had heard stuff. You start to hear things, you start to kind of wonder what's going on in the show, messaging, this and that. What are they going to do? This is one of my favorite superheroes. What's going to happen? And you start to get a little nervous. And I thought, just don't look any of that crap up. Just nothing. Just go into it, see what you think. And I was blown away. And then hearing from you that, you know, just a couple stories in terms of the cast and the crew and how tight the production was is cool. It's just awesome. It makes me feel good about the whole experience. And it seems like all the interviews with the cast and crew seem really cool, and they all seem like they really enjoyed the experience. And James Gunn seems really chill. Like he's
I've been on film sets that were incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
This one by far, I mean, it just felt like everybody was having fun, having a good time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, there was, you know, there was an attention to detail that I really appreciate. And I think, like, cause I've been a fan of James Gunn since Guardians of the Galaxy back in 2014. I didn't know who he was, and he started making the Guardians movies, and I was like, yeah, I'm on board with this guy.
Right.
But yeah, I like, they didn't even give us, normally for a stand-in, they'll give you sides or like a part of the script just so you can kind of, you know, act out what they're doing, but they didn't even give us any of that. Like they had it all locked down. But it was, he's the DC, the future of DC is in very, very good hands with him.
That makes me happy. That makes me so happy. And also hearing how tight production is a good thing, because sometimes you get into a movie and so much of it's been leaked or whatever that it ruins the experience. I mean, if you're someone like me who likes to keep up on that stuff, the average fan is going to walk in and just not know any of that. But, you know, being a podcaster and doing different things in TV and film, it just comes up on my feed sometimes, and I hate when it gets ruined like that. So I love hearing that it is that they're not, you know, giving you. I mean, I'm sure it would have helped a little bit to kind of have that, you know. But still, it's like, oh, that's cool. They're taking it this top secret, because I really think James Gunn is setting up. I think in this movie, there's a lot of little different aspects where he has planted seeds in or breadcrumbs for future projects big time. And I didn't realize how much he was doing that in Peacemaker. I did not realize how much he is setting up a 10-year DCU experience for all of us. And so, I think it's really, really cool. And I'm excited.
And again, just to kind of make a note of just his attention to detail, the second post-credits scene where Superman and Mr. Fantastic are kind of standing there looking at the broken wall.
Yeah.
They actually filmed that scene while I was up there also, which you can kind of catch a glimpse of me in the back too, because they repositioned me and I was at the back of an ambulance that's behind Superman.
Yeah.
We probably spent, I want to say, at least 3 hours to get that post-credits scene shot.
What?
Reset and redid that probably like 30 or 40 times that day.
Wow. Wow, man.
Just for that little post-credit scene that you see. So just to give you an idea.
That's the kind of stuff we need. Attention to detail is super important. I feel like he cared about the character. He cared about the universe. He cares about where it's going. And I love it. You know, sometimes you get these guys who come in and, or like a studio starts to do a project and there's not a guy where he's kind of in control of everything, like a showrunner or sort of like this universe runner. And so I am happy to find out that he is essentially running things. He's running he's running DC right now. And he is also writing and directing, and he's in the nitty gritty detail. He's not just far off sort of like making a call with another director. He is a director. Right. He is working with all the talent and everything. And so, he has his vision. And I think that's great, because if a project comes out and it does flop or something happens, he can course correct. He can look at that and take that feedback and then move in the right direction. Or maybe he knows that a project down the line is going to fill in those gaps or the holes or the problems that maybe bother people in a particular production. So I'm just excited for what he's going to do in the DCU. How do we make sure that you keep getting stand in or, you know, double or whatever role? How do we keep that happening, Mike? Like, what the-
Well, I actually have a talent agent now. So I'm trying to get more, you know, principal roles now through them, which that was kind of my next step anyways. Yeah. So I do have that.
Let's go.
But yeah. The other thing I was thinking about today, I mean, they've already established Cleveland is Metropolis. I mean, they got to be coming back to film again.
That's what I was thinking.
So, I mean, 100% I'm going to be, you know, trying to get back up there for the next Superman movie or whatever movie, you know, Superman's in or, yeah.
And I mean, you're such a professional. You're a professional guy. You're kind. You have attention to detail. You want to do things right. You want to do things. You're a hard worker. I just feel like, I don't know. I mean, if the next 10 years we're going to be, if Metropolis is going to be a setting, like you said, I mean, then I feel like you're going to be there. And so I'm going to need you back on year after year updates as to what's happening. It's just so cool. Any other, like, when you're up there, like, so you guys just explain to me a little bit, because I think it's just kind of interesting, fascinating. When you go to your base camp, you said like 5 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, that was usually the call time. Yeah.
Yeah. When do they like when they bring you in, like what time did you get there for your, like how long did you wait before you kind of?
Well, I shouldn't say that that's my call time. The call time is when you need to be on set.
Okay.
So I got, you get the base camp first, and that's basically where everybody kind of gathers before like makeup, wardrobe. And then you get your instructions to where holding is, which is basically for on set. It's kind of where everybody that is going to be in the scene, it kind of gathers to wait until it's time to go on set.
Okay.
So I got there pretty early, and they load us onto a bus, and they take us downtown Cleveland, right in front of the Leader building where they had set up as the Daily Planet. And it looked like a war zone that they had. They had the whole street shut down.
Yeah.
Which that's the thing, like so much work goes into like set production.
Yeah.
That you don't even get to see in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like some of the stuff I saw, they had like crumpled up cars. They had smoke and fire coming out of rubble. And it looked legitimate, like something like went down in Cleveland.
Right. Right.
And like it was believable. And you get to catch a little bit of that in the movie. But yeah, you basically have to make sure that you're where you need to be by your call time. And when your call time, you know, when it's time to go, the production assistant or another assistant will come and get you and walk you out to set and be like, this is what you're doing. Like for me as an EMT that day, they took me out to my ambulance. They gave me some they gave me some medic bags, and I, you know, I opened up the bags, and these bags were like stocked with actual medical stuff. Like it was all legit. That's cool. All the vehicles had like Metropolis on them. Which I'm pretty sure they had driven up from Georgia, because I think that's where they got everything, and they like drove everything up to Cleveland. But yeah, so basically you get there and they take you on the set, and you just kind of wait around until they start filming.
Mike, let's be honest about something. So what you're telling me is that I'm talking to a man who is legitimately a medic in the DC universe in Metropolis. Your Metropolis medic is what you're telling me. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Right?
You know, I haven't actually thought about that, but yeah.
it's the truth. Like as a viewer, when you're watching that and you're seeing all the different people running around doing different things, you've got, you know, a guy in the shop back there eating a sandwich or whatever. He's just a citizen. He's a citizen of Metropolis. And here you are. You are a public servant of Metropolis you're a public servant, right? So you're out there helping with the public in this chaos. You're essentially helping Superman. You're just like a sidekick. I mean, you're 3 degrees. It's so freaking cool, man. I love it, because I always think about, like, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, and I think about that background, officer on, who's just a background actor, but is they're in an officer uniform and they're on a Star Destroyer. Well, they're legit somewhere in canon. That's an actual, that's somebody, right? That's somebody who has like a role in the, so that's you. That's what I'm saying. That's what me. Makes like, it gets me hyped, you know. You never know. There could be some crazy origin story where, I don't know, they're right now they're in the absolute sort of universe for DC, which is a little bit crazy, but perhaps there's some medic who gets hit by some radiation and turns into some sort of like, I don't know, radiation man medic guy. You never know. You never know, Mike. Yeah. So,
you know, I was thinking about pitching James Gunn a show idea that I had called Metropolis 911.
Oh, my
Basically, you know, just kind of putting a spotlight on, you know, the nice EMT workers cleaning up the mess after you see everything that happens in these movies.
Oh, my God. That's actually phenomenal.
I just made that up on the spot, by the way.
I think let's go. We'll tag James in it. And we'll see what we can do.
Yes, please.
Dude. So, I mean, you're looking in the medical bag, by the way. Did you get to, I'm actually either tomorrow night or the next night. I'm going to go again at like 10 o'clock. And watch the movie. And I have to say, I have not gone to the theater to watch a movie in a long time. So I definitely went for this. And even when I have gone to the theater, I don't typically go back and watch it twice or three times or four times. I will probably watch this two or three more times in the theater because I love it that much and I want to support it. And I've never done groundwork in terms of like asking friends like, hey, do you want to go to the movies? Like, we need to go. We need to go, you know, watch this because it was that good. Sure. So yeah, we'll get there, but it just, where was I going with that? Superman's awesome is I think where I was going with that.
I mean, I get it. When the first Guardians came out, I think I saw that movie four or five times in theaters.
Did you really?
I loved it so much. It was just something so different, something that I didn't think I needed. And I just instantly fell in love with it. And with Superman, so I've seen it twice already. I'm going for a third time this weekend to see it. I can't wait.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel good? It's like, well, like I said, with Guardians, I didn't know much about the Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought, okay, whatever. I really thought that. I was like, that they can't really be that big of a deal. I just didn't know the lore, the comic book stuff. I had no idea. And then I was shocked. I was shell-shocked to see it's such a good movie, such a fun experience. And just to see him kind of continue to do that and to bring that to the DC, I really feel like his mission, according to James Gunn, is to have us walk into the theater and this movie plays out like a comic book. Like you open a comic book and you jump right into the story. And I truly felt that way. And I didn't even know that's how he wanted me to feel until afterwards. Then I start doing my research, running around, looking at interviews. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's literally what I had said to like Lane. I was talking to him after we went and watched it. And we probably talked for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, it was probably like 2-3 o'clock in the morning before we left Pickerington, Ohio and drove back home. I mean, it was just such a good
experience.
That's
my home theater, by the way.
So we're going again. So you and I will be there. You can, we'll have to get together and watch it. Cause I really, I tell you, it's so good. So actually that if you're cool with it, we'll come back here. Maybe anything else you want to share just in terms of like, your experience on set before we move on to, because I would definitely want to get your initial thoughts and
some of your and that. I can also, you know, you're more than welcome to put up some of the pictures that I've posted too of you know, on set where the different things that I did just to kind of give a picture to what I was talking about. But
definitely
I mean, it was just so surreal. And when the first time that I actually got to be close to David Corn-Sweat in the Superman suit. And I'm not just saying this now, like I said it back then too. And I feel like I either told you or Lane this, but the first moment that he walked out, I was like, that is Superman.
Yeah.
I was like, people are not ready.
Yeah. I remember you saying that.
Superman.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't really have any doubts. I knew that James Gunn was going to knock this one out of the park. I was just kind of sitting back and just, you know, watching this unfold. And I'm so glad that it's being taken so well. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's just a good movie.
It is.
There isn't a bunch of unnecessary stuff in it. You know, I think it flowed well. I love that he's not wasting time on, well, I shouldn't say waste time, but spending unnecessary time on origin stories. Because, I mean, like he's mentioned, I mean, we know where Superman came from.
Sure.
You know, we know Batman's origin. I like that it kind of started out where Superman's already been Superman for a little bit. I really like that approach to it. And yeah, I just, it was just such a cool experience.
Well, and yeah, man, first of all, to stand next, how close were to you? How close were you?
I was right next to him, because the day that we filmed the scene where he gets taken by Ultraman, I mean, when they came out to switch out, I mean, we were right there.
Right there.
And God, I mean, awesome. David Corenswet, he's all of 6'6". He's a big guy.
He's 6'6"?
Yeah.
Jesus.
The guy that they had playing Ultraman was even taller than he was.
Holy,
like you can't tell, like, in the movie, like, Frank Grillo was about my height. We're about the same height, but David Corenswet and I can't remember the guy that actually played Ultraman. I mean, they were just giants.
Wow. That's actually pretty awesome. Yeah. I did not even know, because you see everybody sitting down in interviews, and I know in film sometimes it's a little bit different. That's freaking awesome. So this guy's a real freaking Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, look out.
Absolutely.
Look out, man. I'm actually a huge fan of his now, because one, he played such a good Superman. He did so, it just felt natural. There was no awkwardness in his character. I just felt like he hopped right in. I mean, honestly, it felt really, even with Henry Cavill, it took me a second to get used to him. It was a different tone with Superman. And this felt like the comic book Superman. This felt more, David Corenswet's Superman felt closer to Christopher Reeve than I think anybody else has in a long time. Maybe Brandon Routh, but he definitely nailed it. And I felt like he, you know, from hearing what James Gunn wanted to do with the tone and sort of the more fantastical elements here, a little bit of comedy, some stuff with Crypto, the dog running around. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't see Crypto, but I know that was sort of animated. Was there a stand-in for Crypto?
there was a scene which they may have cut it. Yeah. Where Mr. Fantastic was kind of running through the street with Crypto. That day he was there doing his part, but he was just like running down the street by himself, like acting like, cause I mean, it was all CGI. So I don't know if they cut that scene, cause I don't remember that being in the movie. Yeah. But that was the only scene that I can recall that they like filmed with Crypto that day.
Okay. It's freaking cool. I mean, think about that. Everyone shied away from the idea of having, you know, the idea of having, think about Crypto in Man of Steel or something, you know, think about what that
would, it wouldn't work. Yeah.
It wouldn't work. Right. So I felt like,
which I mean, I love that movie, by the way. I think, you know, the darker tone that they went for, worked in that universe. I mean, unfortunately that, you know, that whole, you know, whatever they had playing with that kind of fell flat. But I'm excited about what James Gunn's going to do. And just kind of like you said, I mean, I think he's going to do great. I think one of his greatest strengths is picking out these obscure, unknown characters and making people fall in love with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, he did that when he was at Marvel. I think he did it already in Superman.
Yeah, he did.
You know, Mr. Fantastic.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book, it's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly.
Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I mean, I had no idea. You know, I've always been a Marvel guy, so I wasn't that into, but I mean, I just, he has a way of doing that. Like in Peacemaker too. I love that show and I can't wait for the new season of that. But yeah, he's, like I said before, it's in good hands.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're right. And by the way, I think it's, I said that too. I kept saying Mr. Fantastic. I think it's, Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific. Oh my gosh. Fantastic Four is coming out.
I know. I did the same thing in my last episode. I was like, I said Mr. And I was like, wait, it's, and you know what, you know why though? Because even me being a, I'm a pretty well-versed in DC. I was like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? I mean, Hawk Girl. Yeah. Okay. Green Lantern. Sure. But like Mr. Terrific, I was like, what the heck? It took me a second. I had to go back and so yeah, he takes those sort of lesser. I mean, even Crypto. I mean, a lot of people might not have even known that Superman had a dog, you know, before this, because it's not been in any, in any of the big screen, shows or TV shows or whatever. So I just think you're right. He has this ability to make us fall in love with those lesser characters. I mean, for example, look at what's going on. I'm just now watching it, so this is how far behind I am. I'm trying to catch up on Peacemaker, season one. I don't know if you've seen that. It's HBO. And like, I had no idea that first of all, he shows up in this movie. He's being interviewed. Peacemaker's being interviewed. he's talking about super shits and stuff. And I was like, God, who is this guy? So I had no idea that that was already going on. And so that James Gunn's already literally been building this and setting us up for this huge movie. So I need to go watch the rest of that. I've seen the first two episodes and I'm already laughing hysterical, laughing about that. And I think in a couple of weeks, you've got Peacemaker 2, season 2 coming up. My buddy Matt was telling me, got to get on that, got to watch that. And James Gunn, I think, was in an interview recently, and he said, if you're interested in what I'm doing for the rest of the DCU, watch Peacemaker 2, because he's going to set some stuff up in there where he's telling you kind of where we're taking things. So, I mean, dude, I'm so excited for what's to come. And like, for example, you know, you think about like the man, like you and I both like Man of Steel. I loved Henry Cavill. Yep. And that was one of the things I kind of felt bad because of the whole Witcher thing. You know, he steps out of Witcher because he thinks he's going to play Superman. And then they're like, actually, you're not. And you're like, dude, did he give up his Witcher role to play? I felt like he kind of got screwed over there. And maybe it's nobody's fault. I don't know. Nobody knows the background on it, but I felt so bad for him. And that was sort of why I hesitated coming into this, because I was just like, I don't know, I wasn't really sure if that was it super planned. Like, what are we doing with all the old stuff? Are we going to keep any of the old Batman movies? Are any of these other superheroes possibly going to show up in James Gunn's stuff? Like, I've heard rumors that maybe Henry Cavill might show up as like an Earth 2 Superman or something. You know, there could be some of that multiverse, which DC's been doing multiverse way before Marvel. So I think that's possible. But yeah, they're different tones. I mean, I love Man of Steel and I think it's great. I loved Henry Cavill. This is totally different. And this feels like it's not taking itself too serious, but yet it does have a very good message in it, a very hopeful, optimistic setup here. And it's going to be fun to see all these different heroes interacting together. I mean, I never would have thought of like Peacemaker interacting with Superman. You know, I don't think about the, like they're commenting on each other and stuff, and I'm thinking,
right.
So you're right. James Gunn is really, he's really sort of putting a lot of this. I mean, you have the Justice Gang. It's just making stuff like just the Justice Gang that's there, and you're just throwing all these different characters together that we've read about in comics for years, and it's just fantastical. I keep using that word because it's when you read a comic, you have to suspend belief, and you have to really get into some of the sci-fi of it, and the Pocket Universe stuff blew me away. I was like, what the heck's a Pocket Universe? And then it's in Peacemaker. I mean, his dad has one. I was like, okay, he's already building all this connectivity in between his projects, which is what Marvel has done really well for years, right?
Yeah.
So it's good to see in the DC. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, a couple quick questions here. I just want to ask you about some things in the – I mean, I'm joking here. Clearly, I'm joking. But I'm just wondering if there was next time you're – I know this is – I don't want to make this joke because I want Mike to be in as a stand-in from Metropolis. He is the medic of Metropolis. I don't want to risk anything here, but I'm just thinking, like, did you see anything on set that foreshadowed, you know, like Supergirl and her project? Yeah, I'm just totally kidding. But like, imagine if you're walking around and Mike sees some secret memo about some sort of like Easter egg thing they have to put in. Because that's the thing, these movies are full of Easter eggs. And I was like, oh my God, as I'm going through it, I'm seeing the different, you know, some of them are just little things like the road signs or comic book authors and stuff and whatnot. But I think it's, if I were on set, I'd black out. I'd be overwhelmed by being in all their presence, being in Metropolis. And then also, I know me, I'd be looking for the scoop on the next project. What is James Gunn hiding in this movie that is a breadcrumb for future projects? And so I know you probably didn't see any of that, but I just thought, you know.
No, nothing like that. Just more like fine detailed things placed here and there around set, like you mentioned, like road signs. I remember seeing a Gotham City road sign, kind of teasing that, which in the movie, there's, if you look back on one of the billboard, it references the flooding in Gotham City from which I don't know if you've seen that.
So okay, just today, a couple hours before this, I was talking to my buddy Matt, and he's a big Batman guy. And we were just talking about, like, he said somewhere, if you zoom in on a newspaper, so that must be the second reference. He said people have zoomed in and there's a newspaper clipping that talks about the flooding of Gotham City. So, and what that makes you think of is Robert Pattinson's Batman and the possibility that maybe they are going to continue on with his Batman as the Batman in this universe. We don't know yet. I mean, we have no clue. He's already working on Batman, the Brave and the Bold or whatever. And I think he maybe has a different Batman in mind. There's ideas out there, as Matt was suggesting to me today. He has other people who he might be looking for a new Batman, but at the same time, if you're referencing that flood and it's already happened in a pretty good, DC production, and the money was there and the reviews were good, and you might just incorporate that, and that's already a story you don't have to go get. It's already world building in that DCU that you can kind of take and go with, because they can't really go with, like, you know, Batman versus Superman. Like, they're not going to be able to incorporate. They have a new Superman, so you have to find a Batman for him. And if you've got one that is separate from God, what's his name? Plays Batman.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson, but who played Batman? Ben Affleck. I couldn't
even think of his name. One, yeah.
My bad. I couldn't think of his name at all for a second. But yeah, if you have to move on from him, so they kind of did with Robert Pattinson, and he's kind of in limbo. No one really knew where that was. Just a Batman kind of standalone project, and it seems to be fitting more and more into what James Gunn is doing. He said that he wanted the Superman and Batman to kind of feel like David Gordon's what felt like, kind of, he's nerdy. There's some humor with him, and it's got more of a lightheartedness to it. Whereas he wanted there to be the opposite in Batman, like something more serious and, you know, I feel like he has that in Robert Pattinson, so we'll see. But I was going to pretend going forward, if anybody hears me referencing my inside source, it's not Mike. I don't want to get Mike in trouble, okay? But in my mind, am I pretending like, you know, Mike was finding memos on set and pulling them off and taking some screenshots and sending them to me? My God.
There was some cool stuff that they had on set. They had a lot of like Metropolis meteors stuff, the baseball team.
Yeah.
You know, they had like storefront shops repurposed to look like Metropolis stuff, coffee shop. I mean, they had the whole street done, Metropolis. It was the coolest thing. But yeah, as far as Easter eggs for future stuff, I didn't see anything.
We don't want to get you in trouble. We don't want to get you in trouble. Now, after this episode's over, stick around when we'll ask that question. You tell me the truth. You tell me the truth after this episode. Okay. I'm just kidding, but okay. Real quick, a couple of theories. I just wanted to see. So what did you think of one? Cause you've seen it twice now, right?
Yes.
Okay. The, first of all, I know you're going to agree with me on most of this stuff right now, because I post a few shorts and clips about this. There are people out there saying that this Superman is weak. They're saying he's weak. Are you kidding me? You just told me he's 6'6" in real life. Okay. So he can literally beat up any of these, you know, bots, I guess we'll call them. We'll call them Luther Corp bots that are out there just trying to run down the good name of Superman, because David Corn's what was freaking amazing. But they're saying he's weak. I was like, guys, what are you talking about? This man actually fought himself, a clone of himself who was being controlled by Lex Luthor, right? And so he's got the brains there. He had to outsmart him. He had to fight this guy. I was like, I don't get it. I don't know where people come from. It was so funny to kind of see, you know, in this movie, you had, when you went into the pocket universe, you had all those the chimps, and they were like,
the monkey bots.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna literally go back and just start calling people monkey bot, because I don't get it. They're like, this he's so weak or whatever, but it's just James Gunn's interpretation. I think they're talking about his interpretation on the kryptonite stuff or whatever, but that's extreme too. You have like the guy, I don't even know what the character is. Speaking of characters I got to get sort of fresh on, I guess it's a character I just didn't know about, who can change into kryptonite.
Yeah. Metamorpho.
Okay. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
So he was pretty cool. And I thought, if he can change almost his whole body and he can like control the intensity of that kryptonite, it could be very intense. So it's a power that he has. Like that's impressive. It did affect him in a way that was pretty wild. But again, this is his take on Superman there. And I just felt like I was so tired of seeing people talking about how weak the Superman was. I was like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Like, I feel like people who are saying these things have not gone back and seen like Christopher Reeve. They've not seen the quirky kind of, those are just golden classic movies.
Yeah.
And it feels good coming out of the theater, watching that. You feel like Superman has real trials, real struggles, things that he's going through, and he overcomes them. He puts himself in that position. He goes in there to get his dog. He knows they might kill him, but he's going to save his dog. So anyways, I don't know. Just
no, I've seen that too. And I mean, James Gunn, I think, was purposeful, or he wanted to make a point that, you know, this Superman, you know, he's not, you know, he's going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think they did a good job of showing that in the movie, which I also love that they show, you know, the whole part with him, you know, strapping him in to get hit with the sunlight. Like, I thought that part was really cool too.
Me too.
But no, I mean, you know, you think when you think Superman, you think the only thing that can hurt him is kryptonite. But I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, he can't get, you know, at least to me, he can get injured in other ways too, you know?
And then the thing that really blew me away is like, guys, actually at the very end of this, what did James Gunn do? He said Ultraman is a clone of Superman. I mean, he has his strength, he has all of his powers and stuff. Like, so it's literally, and he may turn into a character we know as Bizarro. If he survived the black hole situation or something like that, I thought, man, that is actually really cool, because who else could really, you do need a pretty significant villain to sort of leave a mark on Superman. That's true. Yeah. Lex is cool because Lex can outsmart him and put him in scenarios that are impossible. If anybody's seen the Christopher Reeve movie, I mean, it's like, you know, he's got to save Lois or he's got to save Metropolis. He's got to save innocent citizens or he's got to save the love of his life. And he can't do both. And he thinks that he can. And then he has to go back in time. He has to spin the world backward. I mean, it's freaking awesome. So yeah. I push back on anybody who's saying that this Superman is weaker than like Henry. Get out of here, man. Like that's such a joke. He's literally fighting a clone of himself and mm-hmm. he's being controlled by Lex. I just thought it was kind of a weak argument for people to say that they felt like he was, you know, I don't know. And then you actually have some good dynamics between him and Lois. Like things aren't just perfect, right? Yeah. Like Lois has trust issues and she's also trying to figure out, you know, she's trying to figure out who this guy is. He shows up in Metropolis. It sounds like 3 years ago and so they've only been in a relationship for maybe a year or so possibly because Superman, remember the opening scene where it kind of said it said 3 years ago, Superman was known to the world or he's been Superman for 3 years essentially, right. Which means that he's been dating Lois Lane for less than 3 years and he's just getting to know her and they're having a little bit of a spat there. Mm-hmm. And at the end, spoiler, she says she loves him back. So I don't know. It just felt like all around it was hitting on all the right levels and I thought it was great. So any thoughts just in general on this type of Superman, on David Corenswet's Superman versus I guess other Supermans, you know, in general?
Yeah, no, I think that they did a really good job of just really, even though he's, you know, a god to people on Earth, they did a really good job of just humanizing him, I think.
Right.
You know, just in the emotions he feels. You know, I keep thinking back to the scene where they have him in prison and, you know, Lex shoots the one guy that helps him.
Dude.
Just his reaction to that.
Wow.
Like, you know, and like you said, I mean, Lex, you know, over, you know, the past, you know, he's found different ways to get him. But, you know, I would say that's different ways that Superman can be wounded. You know, is, you know, by hurting the people he's trying to protect. But yeah, like I think they did a really good job of showing that, you know, he's not just this, you know, Homelander type character that, you know, thinks he's better than everybody else, that, you know, he really just seems like a human that, you know, just like he said, at the end of the day is just trying to do good.
Right. And that is a really powerful scene you just referenced there where his friend or someone who, you know, has gave him food and drink and helped him out of the streets of Metropolis when he was hurt. And he takes that guy, Lex takes that guy into the pocket universe and he kills him right in front of Superman. And it really shows that, you know, Lex is the monster. And again, Superman is more human. And Lex is the monster in that situation. Yeah. And so something Lois said earlier on too, in the film, she was talking about how Superman is somebody who seems to try to see the best in everybody and trust people to be almost like he errs on the side of being more kind and more, where she's kind of mistrustful, right? A little bit. Mm-hmm. She has her trust issues and he seems to really be leaning into thinking that most people are going to do right. And most people want to do the right thing. I think even with Lex, he kind of makes that mistake. He's thinking Lex is not going to shoot this guy. We all thought Lex wasn't going to shoot this guy and Lex shoots him. I mean, that was dark. And then at the end, I mean, full circle, like you have Lex at the end of the film confronting Superman and talking about humanity. And I really felt like, okay, Lex is getting kind of schooled here. He's getting kind of like lectured by an alien on what it means to be human, on what it means to be, right? Like a world citizen. It was wild to me. And I actually think that foreshadows a potential turn for Lex down the line. He'll go a little bit darker. And then we might see, I joke that there might come a day where you need the brains of Lex Luthor to defeat someone like a Brainiac or some General Zod or who knows, someone down the line that we might have to face. And on that note, one more thing I want to hit just sort of before we, you know, wrap things up here. I could talk about Superman honestly for probably another hour. Like I'm not gonna lie to you, it's
good too.
It's so good. And we'll do a follow up. I want to get Lane because Lane had some, you know, our good buddy Lane. He was like, after we were talking out in the parking lot, and he had so many good things to say. And he's like, oh, I mean, I don't really know if he, Lane, dude, the stuff he was saying about Martha and Jonathan Kent, it was so good. And I want him to share that with you guys, with our listeners, with Mike, with me. I really want to bring it to audio, because Superman's such an inspirational and hopeful character that I feel like it's what the world needs.
Yeah.
That's why it's taking the world by storm. The world's been kind of dark and it's been kind of, you know, crazy, and there's a lot going on, and it was just cool to have a superhero, someone that we could look up to again.
Yeah.
And for sure. Yeah. But one of the big criticisms in this film was that the message from Jor-El is kind of it's bad. It's Jor-El basically saying that, you know, he thinks that his son needs to put down anybody who, I'm summarizing, you're paraphrasing, essentially not hold back when it comes to people who want to resist him or put down enemies. Sow his seed, take multiple wives, and almost repopulate the earth with Kryptonians. It's kind of wild. And people are like, there's no way. And this goes back to the genius of James Gunn. No, duh. That's not Jor-El. Jor-El wouldn't say that. I've said this before. I must say it until the cows come home. He is setting you up for some big reveal, some tampering with that message. And I just think it's genius. It's everything, you know, that Mike, that you've been saying about who James is and what he wants to do with this universe and how he's the right person for the job, because it's not as straightforward as people think. I mean, again, he tells us three times that this is a legit message. He tells us with Mr. Terrific. He tells us with Lex's team. And I think even the government sort of backs him up and says, yeah, this is an authentic, we've had all of our linguists look at it, and it's legit. And it's not. Someone who could dupe our best technology would be Brainiac. I mean, I'm not saying that James Gunn is doing that.
Yeah.
And if you know, Mike, you better let me know. But
I have no idea. Hasn't told me. So. Okay.
but doesn't that get you excited, though, to think that, like, okay, yeah, there are things when you go back at this and look at this film again, what are the things that he's setting us up for in the future? Right. And I feel like, because any good filmmaker or storyteller is going to do that when they know they're building out a series or like a universe like this, a series of films and TV shows. And it's just, I don't know why people can't take that lens and look at the show that way. They're all just sort of trash talking the Jor-El message and how that's so different from comic books and stuff and whatnot. But it's like, actually, there's something coming down the line. He has a plan for that. So,
yeah. And I mean, even in, I know I keep going back and talking about the Guardians movies,
but even
in those, he planted seeds in those movies that, you know, sprouted into and absolutely paid off in other movies, even in, you know, like event, like in the last two Avengers movies. I mean, he's so good. He's so detailed at that stuff. And I think one of the other things that just makes him just so perfect for all this is, I mean, he's just like, I'll just use myself as an example. I mean, he's just a big nerd like I am.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, like he loves comic books. He loves all this stuff. And that's why, you know, I know that he's going to do a great job. But yeah, I mean, just little things like that, like with the damaged message, like 100%, there's more to that than what we know.
Right.
You know, I don't think that they would make a point to reference it, would you say, three times?
Right.
If it really wasn't that, you know, if we were supposed to take it at face value, you know, I definitely think there's something else going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And we also know, I was telling this to Matt earlier when we were talking, like Supergirl is right there, and she's been off. Millie Alcock has been off on another planet, drunk on a red sun, which is actually
red sun planets.
God, it's actually hilarious. She is going to be able to tell Clark, to be able to tell Kal-El, like what is this message about? She'll be able to look at it and say, no, your dad would never say that, or they misinterpreted this or that. Like, she knows Kryptonian, and she can maybe help him decipher the rest of the message. Like, there's so many other things and other layers to this film, and those are just a few. I've only seen it once. I need to go back and again, watch it more closely and look at maybe some of the things that are being set up with the Justice Gang and a potential Justice League, right? And with Hawkgirl, and where's Hawkman? And, you know, he's intentional in terms of bringing her in. Why her and why not somebody else, right? He has a story for her. Yep. So on
that point, can I just say how much I freaking love Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner?
Yeah.
He's just everything that I've seen him in. He's just absolutely perfect in it all. I love that guy so much.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that he was part of this movie.
No, me too. Me too. I mean, at the he plays it so well. And I thought he's such a good actor, such a good actor. It just felt like, I don't know, like the way when he's talking to Lois about the hypnotic glasses and stuff, I was like, it's so ridiculous. And then the rest of them are kind of like, hey, she might not know. Like, what are you like? You're just spilling secrets here. And he's just real loosey goosey and kind of like, yeah, whatever. And he really brought the character to life in the best way. And at the end, he's giving the middle finger to everybody. You know, he's like sitting there with the
it was perfect.
It's so good. But also think about the tone too that James Gunn is setting with this movie and some of the language that was in it, the middle finger. I mean, Lex killing that guy, right? And then you look at Peacemaker. I mean, I was shocked. Yeah, it's on HBO, so I'm sitting here going, it was personally, yeah. I think it's hilarious. I mean, this is not something you bring your kids to necessarily. I mean, Superman was though. Superman actually he will have those projects that are definitely going to be like bring the whole family sort of thing, you know, affairs, which is good. Yeah. But yeah, they're definitely, he's taking a more serious adult, you know, young adult to adult approach to these films. And I think that's great because what you had with Henry Cavill and his Superman was a more serious, grittier, grounded sort of Superman. And it was darker. There was definitely some emotional points to it that were really good. I just feel like he's blending those things so well. Some people are saying it's a complete knee jerk and he's kind of going too comedy, too funny, too whatever. But no, I actually think he's just really leaning into comic books. That's what I think he's doing. He's just leaning into, because go pick up any comic book in the DC and read about it. And you've got a couple pages of intense fighting, super serious stuff, followed by a couple weird jokes and some laughs. And, you know, they're fun. Comic books are fun and they're an escape. And so this movie captured that. I think everybody, the reviews are proving it. The box office proving it. And Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, you can't get past those guys. It's certified fresh. So, you know, it's great. And I just can't believe you were a part of it. That just blows.
I still can't either.
It just blows my mind, man. Yeah. So cool.
It was. And we had I was actually, I'm part of a cosplay group.
Yeah.
And we actually, our group got invited to Cleveland's premiere that they had last week.
Wow.
So the Greater Cleveland Film Commission, they were a big reason why they ended up filming in Cleveland. They lobbied to, you know, to get them to come. And they did, you know, they worked their butts off to get production there. So they put on their own little premiere last Thursday and they asked us to come up as DC characters. So my one friend went as Superman and I actually dressed as Rick Flagg from the movie. So that was kind of a full circle moment for me. Because not only did I get to, you know, do his stand in on the actual movie, I got to go to the premiere dressed up as Rick Flagg. Dude. So that was pretty cool. And that's actually where we got to see it for the first time. And there was a moment that night that stood out for me. We were just kind of walking around saying hi, greeting people. There was this older lady that came up to us. And actually, I haven't told you or anybody else about this yet.
Yeah.
There was an older lady that came up to us and I could tell she was just emotional. And she comes up to me and my buddy that plays Superman or was dressed as Superman. And she says, you guys are just, I'm so glad what you guys are doing. You guys are doing such a great job. And we come to find out, we stood there and talked with her for about 15 minutes. And I didn't catch her name. But she was actually the daughter of one of the original artists that worked on the Superman comics, like back in the 50s, like the original, she was one of the daughters.
Oh my God.
Was one of the original artists. And it was some of the stories that she shared. It was just the coolest thing. And I could tell she had such a, you know, she just had such a passion for all of it. And she was just so happy that it all took place in Cleveland and that she got to be there for that. So that was a really, really cool moment.
Dude, that's special. That is really something special. And I think, I think the whole city's proud of it. We're like proud that Superman was created there. Right. I mean, again, it's created in Cleveland, Ohio and penciled down and illustrated and everything. That's phenomenal. I saw on your Instagram, by the way, again, links are down in the description, everybody, for Mike's Instagram please go check it out. I love sharing your stuff, dude. I love the Wolverine cosplays. I love it all. And I knew this was coming. I knew you were eventually going to be able to, you know, post about this. And I saw you up there, weren't you with the guy? Didn't the guy who was a stand-in for Superman also, wasn't he there too?
So we had like an after party, the casting agency, and I went there for a little bit, and Joe, who stood in for Superman, he was there, and we got our picture together.
That's awesome. Actually,
they had like a Superman logo, and I was like, no, you need to hold this up. You were Superman. So
yeah,
I stood next to him, and it was cool.
Dude, yeah, that is so cool. I love it, man. This is so awesome. And again, I want to have you back on just when we talk with Lane and just share more stories. Sure. You just geek out about Superman. It's such a cool time. I've been doing nothing but research on like comic books, rereading stuff again. And I always think that's what these films are meant to do, is to inspire people to, you know, you love this. And then while you're waiting for that next thing, while you're waiting for Peacemaker season 2, go catch up on old shows or movies or whatever. Go back and watch Christopher Reeves back in the day and get into, you know, I don't know, just discussion boards and talk about it. Go pick up a comic and start reading it again. And it's just, they're such an escape. They're so good. They're wholesome. I just feel like, I don't know. I've not felt this good and optimistic about DC and Superman and this whole fandom in a long time. And it just feels really good to be back there. For example, you might have to, you were talking about the Ultraman guy who was, so I guess Tom Welling is only 1 inch shorter than, so if this guy was taller than David, unless he was wearing the boots, but somebody said that Tom Welling, who played in Smallville, was Ultraman. He was under the, the mask.
Really? Or
whatever. But you didn't see him. You didn't see.
No, he is a tall guy too, though. I saw him at Fan Expo Cleveland back in March. He was there with a lot of Smallville people. I actually got to meet Michael Rosenbaum there too.
Did you?
I talked to him for a minute. I love him. He's a tall guy.
I looked on the internet and they said he's an inch shorter than David Corenswet. So it's like, okay, they're about the same height, if you will. Yeah. And if you put some boots on him, put some lifts in there, maybe, because somewhere a Screen Rant or somebody said that Tom Welling was on set, and maybe it was just one day where he played Ultraman or something. And he, you know, because I know they sometimes have multiple people, you know, jumping in and out.
I know that was one of the things I think they were trying to keep under wraps. Who that character was,
right?
And I only knew that it was going to be Ultraman because I heard, just because being on set, like James Gunn referenced him by name.
Yeah, gotcha.
So I was like, I know. And then like I was kind of watching, articles and news articles come out, you know, as those pictures were leaked, you know, who is this guy? You know, who's this mask guy?
Right.
And
right.
Kind of something funny. So the way he is in the movie, you know, he never talks. He just kind of does what he's told.
Yeah.
That's almost exactly how he was on set too. Because he never talked once.
Yeah,
nobody ever like called him by name. He came out, he did his part and he went back, and it was funny.
And that's huge, because that's the big secret. I mean, you know, if you're the director, you're sort of like that guy. Even if it was Tom Welling, let's say it was for a different day, maybe when you weren't there or something, even if it is, if somebody hears Tom Welling's voice and he's talking and they figure out that that's him, I mean, all of a sudden speculation goes crazy. The surprise is spoiled. So you got to keep that like locked down. I feel like that's awesome. Yeah. So cool. So freaking cool. Oh, man. Okay. Mike, I appreciate you coming on, dude. This was a lot of fun. And like I said, I could talk about it for days. We'll try to link up and see if we can't go watch this bad boy together, because I would love to go back down to Pickerington and check it out sometime.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And we want to have you back on too for Up Talking Tolkien too, just as we get into like maybe later into the summer, once Lane's all settled back down, we'll get back on, do maybe a moment Middle Earth or something, just catch up with the guys. And we're getting ready for a big LAP3 event that's going to be happening in Mount Vernon, which is crazy. We got like 1,000 people RSVP'd for it or something. It's grown out of control.
Wow.
So we'll see how that goes. But dude, keep us posted on future stuff, you know, future cosplay stuff. I mean, right now you got the Wolverine stuff. I know you're working on something secret, which has got me super pumped. And if you ever want to come talk about that fandom, please let me know. I'm down to talk about that anytime. David Corenswet, by the way, I'm almost going to give your secret away here. I'm not going to say it. The proximity was too close there. Never mind. As full stop. All you need to know is I'm down to talk about it whenever. And we'll have you back on for sure, brother. Yeah. So appreciate you, man.
Definitely.
All right. Yeah. You want to share anything else before we go?
Oh, no. I mean, I appreciate the shout outs. I do have a couple things in the works. I actually have another DC character getting ready to that I've been working with that I'm going to release hopefully here soon.
Okay.
Another one of my buddies is a really good, he's one of the most well-known Batmans in the cosplay community. So we're kind of working on a little something together. So I'm going to try my hand at a new DC cosplay that you don't really see that often. So
let's go. Oh man, you got me excited. Oh dude, I've sent you a few different things, and I think there's a lot of different things you could pull off, but I'm all about your account. I freaking love it. I need to go when the next big fan expo comes up. I was going to go to the one in Cleveland. Is that where you met Michael Rutledge? Was that the most recent one in March?
Yes.
Was it? Dude, mm-hmm. Okay, right before that, it was that Friday, I think, before my son Lucas was born. So I'm sitting here talking to Lottie. I'm like, look, okay, Star Wars Theory, who's a guy that I like, he was also up there selling lightsabers and stuff. And I wanted to meet him. I think he's it can be controversial, but I think he's cool, dude. Wanted to go meet him, wanted to go meet the Smallville cast. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, sweetie, we can go. And then she's like, yeah, but we're like 2 hours away from the hospital. And I'm like, oh man, here I was. And I did the right thing. We didn't go, even though Luke wasn't born for another 3-4 days, was the right decision. But in the future, I definitely want to go. Like Columbus has theirs in December.
Is GalaxyCon, you need to be there.
GalaxyCon, yeah. Is that December?
That's the first weekend in December.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. I've been to that one before. It's been a while, but I'd love to go back. And I really want to get there. And then the Fan Expo is in next year, right? So Columbus has their own.
Yeah, it'll probably be next spring. Yeah,
next spring. Yeah, and I'm definitely going to try to get to Cleveland as well, because they definitely bring typically a lot more, just different talent and stuff to Cleveland. So. We'll do that. But yeah, guys, be on the lookout. If you're in the Midwest anywhere, you never know. Old Mike Charles might be there, and you might not recognize him all the time. I mean, he definitely pulls off a mean Wolverine. So be careful. But he doesn't bite. You can take photos with him. He's good with the kids. Okay. So, but yeah, brother. Awesome, man. I'm excited for all that stuff. Keep us posted on that, and we'll have you back. We'll definitely have you back on here in a month or so or whatever. It'll be, be good. Sounds times.
Great. No, thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Hey, and to our friends listening, guys, we appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for kind of hanging in there. Like I said, this is sort of a crossover episode where I'm kind of posting it everywhere. So I'm trying to give updates here and there where I can. Anybody who listens to my other podcast, Shell Cottage Radio with my wife, we're also postponed because we just had a baby, and that's been kind of crazy. Life gets crazy, Mike. I can get carried away. So anyways, the updates for people, and it is what it is, but it's a good time to be alive. A lot to be grateful for. Keep those grateful mindsets, and we'll be back with more content in the future. Appreciate you guys. So I can't even do my traditional sign off, where I was going to say, don't forget the sniffing, Bilbo lives, may the force be with you. You know, don't let the muggles get you down. All of the sign offs. You guys know we love you. We care for you.
How about a nice look up? Keep looking up. How about that?
Keep looking up. Let's go. Perfect.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.